Thank you. other sweet beings more auspicious than all other auspicious beings, the greatest purifier of all beings.
The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, reality, again I say reality, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. That person is a true preceptor, or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend also, only if they teach one to always remember, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. There is no certainty when the last breath will come and put an abrupt halt to all one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Oh, what a sorrow, what a great sorrow, more painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It should be heard again and again with one's ears. It should be uttered over and over with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It makes the entire universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. It splendorously reigns supreme over all. It is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So as I said, that I wanted to chant this because there wasn't sufficient time to do it on Sunday night. And I'll spend a little time just speaking about the holy name. There's so much that can be said about the holy name if one takes into consideration that the holy name of Sri Hari is everything. Then certainly all the words spoken by everyone could all include the holy name. If everybody could simply understand that the holy name of Sri Hari is everything. But people foolishly choose to speak about matters which are unrelated to Lord Krishna, and therefore their lives are usually spent in forgetfulness. So I was going to do something with respect to this prayer that I usually don't do, but I wanted to read something. This was an interview of me. It was taken in Govardhan. There is a devotee who is putting together a book about the holy name, and he's went and he's interviewed various individuals, asking them to speak a little of their personal realizations about the holy name. And he asked me to speak a little bit and had it transcribed, and he's going to be putting it in his upcoming book on the holy name. But he sent it to me just a few days ago in its edited form, and as I was looking at it, I thought it would be acceptable, I hope, to read from here, because it's certainly connected to this prayer. Of course, the holy name can be chanted individually by oneself, as it is done in japa, and the holy name is also can be chanted in kirtan. Either way, there is benefit from chanting on the holy name of the Lord. Specifically, I'm speaking about in this interview about japa, but kirtan could also be included. However the holy name is chanted, it will act. And for those, I'm assuming everybody here is at one time or another chanted Hare Krishna. I don't think that with a Wednesday night program is not the same as a Sunday night program when sometimes new people are coming. So on that assumption, I'm speaking to a group of people who are, I would say, various degrees aspiring to chant Hare Krishna purely. Because anyone who chants or has come in contact with the holy name, that should be the aspiration. As is described in the prayer, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the holy name alone can bestow all spiritual benedictions, because it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of pleasure. Therefore, any possible benediction that one could possibly aspire for can be achieved by the mercy of the holy name of the Lord, who is ultimately none different than Krishna himself. I was speaking to a group of students in Udupi in India. They're from Manipal University. They had come to have a program where I was staying back in, I think it was in February, end of February. And we chanted this prayer, we spoke about it, and one of the students who had been chanting Hare Krishna, he asked the question, does one have to chant 16 rounds? That was his question. And my answer to his question is, well, it depends. Well, why are you chanting 16 rounds? Or why would anyone chant 16 rounds? I said, it depends what you want. What do you want? Are you asking the question because you want Krishna Prema, pure love of God? Are you asking this question because you want to be initiated? Are you asking this question because you want to make spiritual? What do you want? And he couldn't understand my question at first. And the point that I was trying to establish is that when one chants Hare Krishna, then one should try to establish some bandha or some relationship with why one's chanting Hare Krishna. Sambandha means relationship. There's different stages. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha, we give the example. The example is given, for instance, of the story of the astrologer Sarvigya, who knows by astrological calculations that this one man who's in poverty is actually not in poverty. He has great wealth that his father left for him. So, to make it short, I'll just simply state this story in connection to Sambandha. So this man who's living in poverty, the astrologer Sarvigya says to him, why are you lamenting? Don't you know your father has left you a great wealth? And he told him where to look for the wealth. He told him what places to not look for, and then he told him that if you dig up on the eastern side of your house, just a little bit through the, go below the surface, there you will find all of your wealth. And this example is given to show that this is Sambandha, that the relationship was established between the impoverished man and his wealth by the knowledge that was given to him by the astrologer. Some connection was established. Oh, I'm wealthy. Not only am I wealthy, but I know how to obtain that wealth. And I know what's there waiting for me when I go and I dig up the earth. In other words, some relationship is established. So in the same way, when one is chanting Hare Krishna, one should establish some bandha with what do I want to obtain by chanting Hare Krishna? What's the goal? What is the goal of chanting? Am I just chanting because, well, of course, whatever the motive may be, one will derive benefit. But if one wants to derive the most complete, topmost benefit, Prabhupada used to give the example that any genuine system of religion teaches its followers that the goal of religion is to love God. Establishes right from the very beginning, what is the purpose of religion? To love God. That is the goal. So when you establish it, then once that goal is established and that there's some connection, and there's a means for obtaining it, that's of course Abhideya. But once it's established, then one should aspire for achieving that goal and not falls short. So I was explaining this principle to the student. I said, what is it that you want? And that you're asking this question, do you have to chant 16 rounds? And he just somehow couldn't make the connection until finally I explained to him all these points, which I just explained, I elaborated on them a little bit more. But the point is that one should want love of God. Can I continue a little bit? Because it's just a kind of a short... Or as oftentimes we pray, Bahu Janma Kari Hari Shavana Kirtana Tabhutana Pari Krishna Pari Premadana. If one is infested with the 10 offenses and matter chanting our Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he will not get love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Right? Love of Godhead. Love. Pure, unalloyed love for the Supreme Lord. So, if one has faith that by chanting Hare Krishna one can achieve this love of God, if one has faith that this holy name of the Lord can bestow the topmost spiritual benediction, love of God, if one has faith in this way, then one will chant Hare Krishna with the primary objective of achieving this goal. If there's no faith, then sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in the execution of one's sadhana, if one's faith is not strong, he may give up his sadhana due to insufficient faith. He doesn't have faith.
What's that that you just said, trumpet sadhana? It will make you like sadhana if you don't have faith.
Abandon.
Huh?
Make you abandon.
Give up.
Right. What is that?
Abandon?
Well, if you don't have faith, it will make you like sadhana.
Abandon.
Abandon. Okay.
Yeah. To give it up.
Okay.
Right. Where sadhana means to perform a regular prescribed practice daily, which brings one closer to achieving the goal. There's sadhana and there's sadhya. Sadhana is the means, whereas sadhya is the end. Prabhupada oftentimes used to say that in Krishna consciousness, the means and the end are the same. The means is that we are chanting Hare Krishna to achieve the end, which is to chant Hare Krishna. So the means and the end are the same. But we're chanting Hare Krishna to obtain the end, which is to chant Hare Krishna purely in love. One who chants Hare Krishna purely with love, then he experiences tears of happiness. He experiences ecstatic symptoms. His body actually, he loses consciousness. He loses awareness of his surroundings. That's the symptom of Shuddha Nam, of pure chanting of the Holy Name. If one is not chanting in that state of mind, or that state of consciousness, it should be understood that still there is some traces of aparad, or offenses committed while chanting. And aparad is, there are obstacles, there are obstructions, which prevent us from experiencing Krishna in His name. Just as the sun is always bright, right? But sometimes we experience the sun, but we don't see the sun in the sky because it's covered by clouds. So, but still, if you go above the clouds, the sun is effulgent. It's always effulgent. In the same way, the holy name of Krishna is always transcendentally sweet. It's always ecstatic. It's imbued with all transcendental rasa. It is Krishna Himself. And if we're not experiencing it, it's due to some obstacles that's preventing us from experiencing the holy name. So, nonetheless, if one has faith, namaparada yuktanam nammanyeva haranti gamma vishanti prayuktani tanyevati kritani cha. The chanting of Hare Krishna is recommended for those who are committing offenses, because even if one is committing offenses, if he goes on chanting Hare Krishna, then gradually he'll become free from offenses. Such is the power of the holy name of the Lord. It purifies. Cheto darpana majanam. And the more one hears about the glories of the holy name of the Lord, the more one hears about the benefits of chanting, the more one hears the art of chanting, the practices of chanting, the more one hears of how Krishna and his name is not different, the more one hears about the pastimes of the Lord in his holy name, how the holy name bestows spiritual benedictions upon the practitioners, the more one hears about these things, it's meant to increase faith. And with the increase of faith is also an increase of desire. Because our desire, sometimes it's not very strong. Although desire is the eternal companion of the soul, sometimes if we're not careful, our desires will become misdirected. Therefore, we should always try to purify the desires that are there within our heart, to increase our desire, and understand that the holy name of the Lord can purify the heart and make our original pure desire to love Krishna fully manifested there within the heart. Faith is required. So I was going to read a little bit, as I said, about some of the realizations I had at the time when this devotee was interviewing me and asked me to speak about the holy name. Especially throughout the last year, due to illness, I have given more time to chanting and meditating on the holy name. I've carefully considered different stages of chanting, although one should certainly aspire to chant the holy name of the Lord in pure consciousness at the level of full remembrance of Krishna. For most, that stage is only an aspiration, not a practical level of advancement. Devotees therefore need to adopt a reasonable means to purify the heart for achieving the goal of fixing the mind in full recollection of the Lord's pastimes. Of course, the best process is properly chanting the holy name itself. Purification manifests to the degree one opens the heart to the holy name. I thus find it very helpful that along with endeavoring to remember the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes, to meditate on my exclusive dependence upon the holy name. Srila Prabhupada often gave an example to show how that purification works. As an iron rod in fire makes the iron rod hotter and hotter, similarly by coming in contact with Krishna in the form of his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, one becomes progressively purified. One thus has to fully open his heart to the holy name so that it enters deeply and cleanses the heart by its influence. Consciousness that I have been trying to cultivate while chanting in order to open my own heart is the feeling of unworthiness to chant it purely, the feeling of inability to be fully engaged in devotional service, and the feeling of insufficiency in love for Krishna. It's quite like the mood described by Srila Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He describes that one of the characteristics of a devotee is that he always feels that he doesn't have enough of Krishna's mercy, he doesn't do enough to serve Krishna, and he doesn't have enough love for Krishna. A humble devotee is thus feeling the need more and more for Krishna's mercy, his service, and ultimately the intense desire for more and more devotion. That feeling of inadequacy, however, should not be done in the mood of self-indulgence. It shouldn't come to the point where one is thinking himself so unqualified and fallen that he is totally focusing only on himself. Unless one can properly relate to the concept of being fallen, how can one feel the need for mercy? So here, I'll speak a little bit more on this point, but the point that I'm making is that one has to feel a helpless or dependence on the holy name of the Lord for it to be relevant. Chanting Hare Krishna needs to be relevant. If it's not relevant, then what happens? It simply becomes mechanical. It becomes something, of course, there are different stages of devotional service. One stage of devotional service is called Vaidhi Bhakti, where one performs the activities of devotional service simply because they ought to be done. We do it because we've been asked to do it, and we just do it. But there's a higher platform that one gradually has to come to, that yes, chanting Hare Krishna is meant to deliver some result. And if the results are not coming, it is not any defect in the holy name, but it's a defect in our practice of chanting. Therefore, we should always look within ourselves, what is it that I can do to eradicate the defect and make the chanting of Hare Krishna more relevant to my life. And as I was describing here, that feeling of inadequacy, the feeling of unable to chant purely, or inability to chant purely, that evokes within me the need to get mercy, because I can't do it on my own. And when I realize I need to get mercy, what's the most accessible form of mercy available to me? Is that Krishna has very kindly made himself available, accessible in his name. Right? We chant in the Shikshastika prayers that your holy name alone can render all benedictions to living beings. Thus you have hundreds of millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. These transcendental names, you invested all your transcendental potencies and no hard and fast rules for chanting these names. Oh my Lord, out of your kindness, you have made yourself so easily available by your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. This is Shikshastika, second prayer, where it's described that Krishna is so kind, we want mercy, it's there, it's accessible. The most immediate form is to call out Krishna's name. When a devotee calls out in total helplessness, dependence, I can't advance in spiritual life without your mercy, then the holy name becomes relevant, because it becomes our not only is it our connection with Krishna, it's our link with Krishna, but it is Krishna. And the more we establish that link and it becomes stronger and stronger, the more we begin to realize that Krishna is there in his name. And how, then we begin to perceive how the life is influenced in a positive way, although sometimes potentially painful. But in a positive way, our life is influenced, all due to our connection with the holy name. So, therefore, I go on. A devotee should think that the Lord is very merciful, more merciful than one can imagine, and because of that kindness, he is manifested in his name. One should meditate on verses like Kali, Kali, Nama, Rupa, Krishna, Avatar, Nama, Hoite, Hoisava, Jagat, Nistara. The Lord incarnates in this age of Kali in the form of his name, and anyone who associates with his name is associating with Krishna directly, and certainly becomes delivered. In this way, the Lord is so merciful that he kindly enters the heart to purify his devotee. But first, one must consider himself so much need of that mercy and so dependent on him in this way that he is drawn to reciprocate those feelings, he meaning Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada would say, one should chant as a child sincerely crying out to attract their mother's mercy. Before meditating on different aspects of the Lord's pastimes and features, while chanting, I try to absorb myself for a period of time in meditating on how much I am in need of mercy and why I am in need. I look at my inadequacies, all the unwanted things that are within my heart, and realize that unless I can get mercy, I have no hope. Another very important point is that the holy name is more effective when chanted with faith. I often use the example that because the holy name has been given to us through the lips of Krishna's pure devotee, it is imbued with all the necessary potency to manifest Krishna prema, pure love of God. I have that deep confidence, the firm faith in Srila Prabhupada's empowerment to deliver the holy name. That he is Kali Kali Radama, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Veena Nahitara Pravartana. That confidence and faith in Srila Prabhupada's ability to give the pure holy name, which can cleanse my heart, is also an essential ingredient for the mantra to work. Without faith that the holy name is everything, that the holy name can clean my heart, that the holy name can bestow full mercy upon me, it is very difficult to focus the mind on the holy name consistently and with confidence. Therefore, I need to not only carefully chant the holy name, but I also need to hear the glories of the holy name from Srila Prabhupada and from advanced Vaishnavas. I need to read and hear about those glories repeatedly, and also to discuss with others the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy name, as described in the revealed scriptures and from the mouths of the Vaishnavas. There's no other way to taste the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. This type of meditation is definitely absorbing, and instills within me a genuine feeling of humility, and invokes a feeling of repentance. In turn, such contrition awakens a kind of emotion within me, an inner impetus to take shelter in the holy name. It is difficult to just go on thinking about one's inadequacies and fallen nature without taking refuge in the remedy, the holy name. I also have faith that not only is the holy name extremely merciful and can deliver me, but it can also forgive me. That gives me hope and instills further faith. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the holy name is even more merciful than the form of Krishna, because it is shelter in the holy name where one seeks forgiveness. It is true that the Lord and His name are non-different, but still there is a slight difference. The holy name is even more merciful than the form of Krishna, which gives me hope and confidence and serves to stimulate the type of emotions that inspire a strong need to chant more and more. This state of helplessness and dependency is thus the best catalyst for deeper meditation. So again, the point about making it relevant, just like we explained before, that if I'm not experiencing this ecstatic love for Krishna, I must be committing some offenses to the holy name, Nama Parai. And if one is committing offenses, then one needs forgiveness. And therefore, this desire to approach the holy name of the Lord in this mood of begging, helpless, dependence, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that the holy name of the Lord is the most merciful form of the Lord. He's even more merciful than the deity, than the form of the Lord. Because he says if one commits an offense to the deity of the Lord, then the only means for rectification is to chant the holy name of the Lord. Whereas the deity will not forgive, but if one takes shelter of the holy name and chants with a feeling of contrition, forgiveness, then the holy name can deliver one from an offense committed, such as the power and mercy of the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, again, if we are committing some form of offenses and chanting the holy name of the Lord, if tears or ecstasy are not manifest, it's like Bhagavatam states that one's heart is considered to be like a steel-framed heart. If by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one doesn't experience ecstatic symptoms, love of Godhead, then the heart is still steel-framed. So if we're not experiencing these things, then we really have to be helplessly praying in a dependent way upon the holy name to continue to cleanse and to purify my heart. So in this way, chanting becomes a relevant activity to our spiritual life every day. We're aspiring to obtain something. And when we associate with devotees who have an understanding of the glories of the holy name of the Lord, who have some realization of the glories, and who actually have some attraction for chanting, then we begin to have faith that, yes, that I can move along this path also. This is also an essential factor for advancing along the path of chanting the holy name of the Lord. I don't know, there's a lot more. I don't know if I'm going to have time to read everything. I wanted to read something. But this is when, in this prayer, it describes that the holy name of Sri Hari is everything. Then anyone who is a sadhaka or a practitioner of Krishna consciousness should try to make that connection, that sambandha. What is chanting Hare Krishna? How is it connected to my life? And bring it to life and make it relevant on a daily basis. And however much that one can actually make it relevant and chant in this mood, then gradually what begins to happen is that the holy name does become more relevant. And one does feel a sense of more helplessness and a desire to chant more. And in fact, it when one actually feels a sense of helplessness and dependence upon Krishna and His names, and when one actually there's one other point I want to make, I will read that I had thought about gratitude. I'm jumping. Gratitude is so important. Excuse me. One of our previous acharyas has said that one has to feel himself to be the negative, and if he feels himself to be helpless and in need of shelter, then the positive comes to compensate and brings him up. I am inspired by that concept that Krishna comes down and lifts up his devotee, because the devotee is not demanding it and does not say, "Krishna, you must do this." Rather, the devotee helplessly calls, "I am totally dependent on your mercy, although I am unqualified for it." Krishna then sees that his devotee is not conditional, but helpless. And being the complete positive entity, he comes down to the position of the negative, the state of inadequacy, and personally lifts the devotee to a higher state of consciousness. That mood of utter helplessness should always be kept at every stage of a devotee's advancement in Krishna consciousness. For as soon as one thinks that he is in any way advanced, the sense of helpless dependence quickly diminishes. It makes one proud, and one loses one's sense of dependence and is no longer grateful. Gratitude is so important. When one feels grateful, it stimulates the individual to serve, to want to do something, to chant Krishna's name. One should feel grateful for the smallest realization, the smallest exchange from Krishna and the holy name. A good example of this type of gratitude is Uddhava in his discussion with Vidura. When Vidura realized that Krishna was thinking about him before he departed, he became completely overwhelmed with gratitude. It was such a small thing, but not a small thing for Vidura. So in the same way, a devotee should feel so grateful that Krishna is in his name, that he wants to purify his devotees and help them advance. Krishna also wants his devotee to reciprocate with him by chanting, for even the slightest reciprocation awakens gratitude in one's heart. When gratitude is awakened, then the impetus to call out Krishna's name with love becomes natural. I am so grateful that Krishna is in his name and so accessible that any time I can call out his name under any circumstances, he is manifest. It is a simple realization, but to me, it is the most profound that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is so kind that he extends himself to us in such an accessible form. It is so important to hear and discuss these types of realizations and to chant seriously. If the only relevance that I feel for chanting is the obligation that I have to do it, then how long will I be able to carry on? Devotees need to go deeper than "I have to do it." I made a commitment to do it, or it will be very difficult to keep up that commitment. There's a need to go beyond thinking that success is chanting. In chanting is simply the completion of 16 rounds. That an achievement is, quote, "I have finished 16 rounds." That's why I always tell my disciples who are having difficulty finishing their 16 rounds, better you chant less rounds attentively than 16 rounds just for the sake of completing them. And that was the end. So I hope I was able to share a little something about chanting and the holy name with all of you. And I guess we should leave if anybody has any questions or comments.
En español nosotros entendemos que el mantra de Krishna es un pedido que se hace a Krishna, por favor, ocúpame de tu servicio.
We understand that the Hare Krishna mantra is a request of the nature of the Lord to please engage us in his service. Then what is the grand intention of chanting Hare Krishna and not engaged in other service?
And not?
And not engaged.
Is there any sense?
Yes.
But chanting Hare Krishna is service. Of the nine, the Navavida, it's described the nine types of devotional service, Lord Chaitanya in his instructions to Sanatana Goswami says, most important is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Of the nine types of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering. All the other processes of devotional service become complete along with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord.
Process of chanting is to receive the Lord's mercy.
Well,
you know, not like I'm going to do this because the Lord's going to be merciful to me, but
the process of chanting is to love Krishna.
Yeah, but I mean, Krishna's so merciful, like you said, to give us the whole name.
Yes. And he's made himself accessible, so mercifully he's made himself accessible to me. So yes, I am dependent upon his mercy.
Right.
So yes, therefore.
Like when I chant, I just feel like I have to be very, very humble, like a blade of grass, because that's just basically what it is.
Well, we should look at it within ourselves and to see why we actually have the qualification for being, for feeling humble.
I know, I don't. I don't. If I have any degree of humility, it comes from God. You know what I'm saying? It's God's grace.
So, therefore, if Chinadapisa Nichinaturapisa Hishna, that is what Chaitanya describes in Sikshastika. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street. The Vadipal sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So, this needs to be cultivated. And if it's cultivated internally, then there'll be some result from chanting. It may take time, it may not happen overnight, but if one has faith, and without faith, it's very difficult to go on. But one actually has to have faith that by chanting Hare Krishna, everything that it can possibly achieve, obtained, the perfection of all religion can be obtained by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That type of faith has to be there. One needs to be convinced. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult to go on chanting, especially when there's so many other demands, distractions, which are telling us which are more important to do than to chant.
So that kind of faith takes realization.
Yes. Yes. And yeah. Therefore there's different levels of faith based upon one's realization.
Yeah. Okay.
For those whose faith is still weak, he's called tearless Prakata Bhakta. He's a third class devotee. His faith is still not strong. And because faith is weak, and his faith can be influenced by others very easily. His faith is soft and pliable. But then as one advances and his faith becomes stronger, then it's more difficult for him to be shaken by hearing opposing arguments. This is the second stage of devotional service. So these are all different levels of faith. That's what advancement means.
Yeah.
That's what, when we talk about advancement, it means we're advancing on these on these levels of faith.
Yeah.
It means I'm coming to a higher stage.
I heard from Damodara Maharaj, he said that Krishna arranged environment according to our conscience. And when we are chanting, what is more proper? To pray to Krishna to arrange time for chanting, or to pray to Krishna to do whatever he wants?
Whatever stimulates more feeling. Because we should be chanting with feeling. If it stimulates more feeling to pray for more time to chant Hare Krishna, then pray to chant for more time to chant Hare Krishna. Some feeling must be there when we're chanting. And when feeling is there, then, as we explained, then the feeling of relevancy is there. Then you want to chant more. And then gradually within the heart, more and more is revealed in the heart. Thinking, or the struggle to think, gradually diminishes, and the natural thought processes begin to evolve. When there's some feeling in for chanting the holy name of the Lord, and for calling out for Krishna's name. But whatever induces the most feeling, then pray for that. As long as it's not for some Mercedes Benz. But even if it is, If that's the highest one can get, then that will also be destroyed. I know you're not doing that. I just happen to, you know, it's an old song back in the 60s. Came to mind. So I got the most feeling from praying for a Mercedes Benz. Prabhupada said even the person who drinks, the alcoholic, so thinks of Krishna when he's calling out for alcohol or something like that. Excuse me, just one second.
Glorify the Lord.
Is it opening or closing?
It should remain open.
Okay, alright. Yes, it is very pleasing to the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one who chants my glories, is no servant in this world who's more dear to me than he, nor there will ever be one more dear. So, Krishna becomes very happy. What's the last thing you say? Sorry.
Goddess.
It's God. God. So, it is 7:30. I think we should probably stop here.
Sing.
We can have a short kirtan. Okay. Thank you.